Shalom Kavarim and Todah Rabbah. Greetings, friends, and thank you for joining us here on Moody Radio and here, O Israel. I'm Reggie Lisenby on behalf of the Messianic Ministry to Israel. Life is not easy, is it? And people are not basically good. People, generally, basically, are sinful. In fact, just like the devil, except we whom our Lord Yeshua has saved. No matter how good the world defines itself, or no matter how good we individually define ourselves, without Yeshua, people are like their father, the devil, according to the Holy Writ, according to the Bible. Everyone, Americans, Arabs, Israelis, and more especially Hamas and Hezbollah and the other viciously bloodthirsty regimes. In fact, the leaders of Hamas may be even modern Nephilim, hybrid humans, half human, half demon. Well, they certainly are possessed. One of the most horrific incidents that was documented on body cams is the following that we received from one of our missionary families serving in Israel. And I quote, "These man-beasts broke into a Jewish house near Gaza, put the baby in a baking oven, turned it on to maximum heat, shot the father, tied him up, raped the baby's mother, one after the other, and laughed while they raped the mother of the baby who was cooking alive in the oven. This is what we're up against. Oh my, we need the Lord God to save us and to give us a new heart, not to make us better, not to reform us or help us, but to deliver us, to give us a new us, to give us the life of Yeshua within us." Amen. To transplant himself within. And this is called the new birth. Beloved, we also need God to judge sin and sinners, and he's going to. And Gehenna is the final destiny for the Nephilim, yet also for all of those who are unsaved. If you're listening to our program, you're not Hamas, and you're not Hezbollah, and you wouldn't do such demonic, satanic, diabolical things as being done. But according to the Bible, sinners are sinners, and altogether they will spend eternity in Gehenna. Amidst the horror happening in Israel, my deepest sadness is for those Jewish people who died and did not know Yeshua. We must remember that there is nothing salvific or divine or embossing about having Jewish roots any more than aggrandizing someone who has religious roots. We are all descendants from Adam and Eve, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and we are all sinful, and we are all going to spend eternity with the devil unless we are born again and saved. We all need Yeshua. And we are called to, quote, "Come, let us reason together, says the Lord," Isaiah 1:18. Our ministry, Messianic Ministry to Israel, is reaching lost Jewish people with the gospel. Jews who are misfit for the kingdom, as are the ethnic Goyim, or the Gentiles, whom we are also reaching. We must quit parading celebrity or enhancement about being Jewish, Scottish, Irish, Italian, Hispanic, African American, about being any ethnicity, and begin to offend both Jews and Gentiles with the gospel of Yeshua before it's too late. For the 3,000 Israelis so far who have been murdered in Israel, did they hear the gospel? They are beyond the grave in eternity. And there are only two destinations that are set for all men. On behalf of Messianic Ministry to Israel, I thank you for supporting our work of ministry. Some of you support us financially. Many of you support us in prayer. And what we are doing by the help of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God, is matchmaking Jews and Gentiles to Yeshua. We do this by speaking, teaching, preaching, singing, signing, demonstrating, writing, using every facet of ministry, every means possible to distribute the revealed Word of God. So thank you for your fellowship with us in this work of ministry. And let me continue by saying that what has happened in the Middle East in Israel is the diabolical satanic war against the seed. One of the conditions of the second coming of Yeshua will be Israel's national faith in Messiah Yeshua. Let me quote the good physician Lucas, of course inspired again by the Holy Spirit to write his gospel. He quotes Yeshua in saying these words, "O Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, how often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it. And I say to you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." What is happening in the land of Israel today is a satanic war against Israel. No surprise. At the beginning of time, God declared holy war. In fact, in Genesis 3:15, he spoke of the woman and the serpent, the woman's seed and the serpent's seed, and the two champions, the champion coming from the woman and the champion coming from the serpent. The serpent would bruise him on the heel, but he, the seed of woman, he would crush the head of the seed of the serpent. Holy war, then, is biblical. God intended to establish a kingdom. It's going to be established. The serpent knows it. He's always known it. And therefore, since the beginning of time, the serpent has been watching the presage of humanity, watching what God was doing and trying to intercept God's plan, his messianic plan, which concerns the seed. God foretold his prophecy, as I said in Genesis 3:15, which is called the Proto-Evangelium, or the first gospel. And again, every other biblical prophecy in the Bible stems from that first one, the Proto-Evangelium. Satan has been watching human descent and invading the human genome, looking for that human champion from Adam and Chava, at the same time trying to corrupt humanity. To pollute the human DNA. Perhaps Satan thought David was the champion, a man after God's own heart, and the devil caused David to sin greatly. The serpent perhaps thought Shlomo, David's son, the king of Israel, and the wisest of all men. Perhaps he was the human champion to crush his head, and Shlomo's heart was turned from God. Perhaps the dragon thought Shimshon, Samson, was the Tarzan, was the Hercules from Israel who was to crush his head. And Satan gave Shimshon Delilah, we call her Delilah, who eventually cut off his hair and cut off his strength. And Shimshon died. And by the way, he died in Gaza. On that night, 2,000 years ago, that we will soon celebrate as Christmas, Satan knew this is him. This is the one foretold. This is the messianic champion. He was named Yeshua, which means Jehovah saves. He was born of an Israeli virgin, an Alma. His descent was from the tribe of Yehuda, Judah. He was born in Bethlehem. His star ruled among the constellations of the heavens and announced his birth to those who could read the star gospel. Yeshua had descended from humans back to Adam, so he was a man. And his genealogical descent was from Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yehuda, and David. So he was a Hebrew, he was the heir, he was an Israeli, and he was a Jew. And he was Elohim. The serpent had been reconnoitering the coming seed of woman, and the seed of woman was always in jeopardy. Cain killed Havel. Cain killed Abel. The whole earth was demonized by the Nephilim, and the genome or the DNA of men was being contaminated. But God saved Noah, his wife, their three sons, and their wives on an ark. The whole earth was then afterwards moving yonder east to Babel, to Babylon, moving away from God, moving away from Gan Eden. And God found Avram yonder in the east and called him back west to a holy land. But he was an old man, and his wife Sarai, she was an old woman. How could they help God with any human seed to be a champion. God made a promise to that man and woman, yet the promised seed was in jeopardy since they could not produce the child, not naturally. The seed was in jeopardy when Abimelech took Sarah into his harem, and God cursed Abimelech. And the seed was in jeopardy when Yitzchak was born to Avraham and Sarah, because he had a brother Ishmael who taunted him, haunted him. The seed was in jeopardy when Yitzchak married Rivka. She was barren, but God was going to make Leah the matriarch of Israel and the mother of his Messiah. The seed was in jeopardy when the birthright was stolen, but God had chosen Yaakov in the womb, and the birthright was stolen to preserve the seed. The seed was in jeopardy when Yaakov wrestled all night with an unknown antagonist, and Yaakov could only hold on, and his name was changed to Israel. The seed was in jeopardy when two of Judah's sons died, and Judah was the progenitor of the seed of Messiah. But Tamar played the harlot, became pregnant by Judah, and she preserved the seed of Messiah. And by the way, she was named as one of the grandmothers of Christmas by the good physician Luke. The seed was in jeopardy when Israel was brought down to Mitzrayim, down to Egypt, and there myriad Jews died under the hate and the hand of Pharaoh. The seed was in jeopardy when the Egyptian midwives were told by Pharaoh to abort those Hebrew babies, but God preserved them. The seed was in jeopardy under the Agagites, the Amalekites, the Amorites, the Ammonites, the Canaanites, the Gershurites, the Gershurites, the Girgashites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Horites, the Ishmaelites, the Jebusites, the Kadmonites, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Moabites, the Perizzites. The seed was in jeopardy when Israel was in captivity to Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. The seed was in jeopardy that night in 4 BC when after 4 millennia, the seed of woman was birthed to a virgin named Miriam. And Revelation 12:4 says the dragon was there to devour the child the moment he was born to Israel. The seed remains intact until this year, 2023. Yet the seed is in jeopardy. Now how can that be? The Hebrew word seed is zerah, and zerah is a corporate singular Hebrew noun, meaning the seed is a community while also speaking of one zenith person of that community. It represents the whole while hallmarking the one. Well, who is the one hallmark? And that person we know, don't we? He's Yeshua, the Messiah of that community, being Israel. There are myriad prophecies that foretell of Israel in the last days. God is going to graft them in again, Romans 11:23. All Israel will be saved, Romans 11:26. Israel is going to flee from the grasp of the Antichrist, perhaps to Petra, the highest mountain range in that region, and a remnant will be saved, that's Zechariah 12. And Yeshua is going to pour out his Ruach. He's going to pour out his spirit upon Israel, and they will look upon him whom they pierced. Zechariah 12:10. Revelation 12:15 says, "And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth." The woman is Israel, whom God is going to preserve and rescue. He's going to do that in 2023, that is this year, and forward. Hamas is not going to destroy Israel. Hezbollah is not going to utterly destroy Israel. If Israel were to be destroyed, there would be no more seasons, spring, summer, fall, and winter. If Israel were to be destroyed, there'd be no day and night, no sun or moon. Israel is going to last because there's a remnant. Biblical prophecy says that in the last days, Israel will be surrounded by enemies. Enemies that will come in like a flood on every side. On October the 7th, Israel was attacked by enemies living within the tribal land of Judah. What? That estate belongs to Yeshua. That's his land. That's his backyard. So why isn't Messiah Yeshua living there and reigning there as Messiah, protecting Israel? Well, that was his plan. But Israel rejected him 2,000 years ago and continues to reject Yeshua today. But there's always been a remnant. Yeshua may be absent from his estate for now, but Yeshua is coming. And he's coming one day to claim his inheritance. Zechariah 2:12 says, his inheritance in Israel is the tribal land of Judah, which contains Jerusalem. So why the continuous attacks on Israel since the beginning? Because Israel is key to the first coming of Yeshua. Israel is key to the second coming of Yeshua. Israel's national repentance is key, caused by a satanically inspired invasion of Israel. Read Zechariah 12. I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. The father hen will soon gather his chicks unto himself. As for right now, we will watch and see what Father God is doing and what he will do. It may be horrific for Israelis living in Israel today, it already is. Yet Israel will continue into the future end time story. The Divine Library tells us that the devil has a final plan to thwart God's great finale, his messianic plan, the millennial kingdom. From the beginning, as we've said, in Genesis, the kingdom has been God's interest. The devil's scheme, then, is also a kingdom, since Satan is a copycat, he's a counterfeiter, and his plan is also then a one-world political system, just like God's messianic kingdom. There are Christians who say they don't vote, and that we should not confuse politics with Christianity, that our hearts should be set on the coming kingdom from heaven. My answer is, we are now living in a very real kingdom, and we are preparing for the King and his very real kingdom to come. What we do in this real kingdom of the flesh will decide what position we will hold in the future coming kingdom, and we are preparing the way for his rule. The World Economic Forum meets annually in Davos, Switzerland, with hallmark political, economic, and cultural leaders of society gathering in order to drive the world toward a one-world government they envision. These so-called elites suggest that globalization will end wars, economic inequality, and conflicts perpetuated by power-hungry aggressors. But these so-called elites, they are the aggressors. Their ideals are good, but the direction of their drive is satanic. First, they intend to restrict personal freedoms and rights that faith and religion and even national constitutions offer people and citizens. And second, they intend to eliminate nationalism. The result will be to handcuff people and make us servants of the government rather than free people and servants of God. The World Economic Forum aims to confiscate all private property and in return to transfer private property to become state property. You will not own anything, and you'll be happy since the government will take care of you and all your needs. The World Economic Forum gains control of the world via a crisis, or perhaps many crises. They did this using COVID, climate change, health emergencies, supply chain problems, and all the other. The objectives of the globalists align with the future objectives of the devil: to overthrow all universal laws, God-created governments, freedoms, and to unite all humanity under one single ruler. And the Bible identifies him as the Antichrist. This one Satan will possess, and when he inaugurates his plan, Satan will attempt to supplant God's control via the hearts of the world's political leaders. As Martin Luther said once, the devil is God's devil. We should recognize that the World Economic Forum are a prelude to the end times one world government of the Antichrist. Beloved, at that time, God will make unbelievers who rejected Yeshua believe his great lie. What can believers do during this satanic war against Israel? First, I would encourage all of us to pursue the salvation of Israel foremost, and also the Gentiles, because this is the New Testament protocol, the mandate of missions, given to us in Acts 1:8 and Romans 1:16. The victory will not be won on the ground with horses and chariots, but with the gospel. So help MMI reach Jewish people with the word. Second, pray for peace in Jerusalem according to the Aliyah Psalm, Psalm 122. This psalm reflects the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua sitting on the throne, and remember that God often incites war to punish and or to correct, even sometimes as judgment. And number three, pray for the remnant. There is an elect from Israel and from the Gentiles. I might even pause and ask you, are you elected? God has always had a remnant. Pray for these, our brothers and sisters. Finally, I would say promote God's messianic plan that concerns Israel as the hallmark. Do you know eschatology? Do you know what God says will happen as we approach the end of days? I would encourage all of us to create a biblical chronology of eschatology. What's going to happen in the last days and in what order? And I might include one more. Would you consider sponsoring an MMI missionary individual or family? If you are new to the work of Messianic ministry to Israel, you can designate your financial gifts to any family that we support or any individual. The father hen will soon gather his chicks unto himself. Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
This program is a production of Messianic Ministry to Israel. If you are blessed by the biblical content we share each week, would you please consider giving a gift of support to our mission board? Messianic Ministry to Israel is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, and your gift will help cover the necessary expenses associated with this broadcast and help keep our program on the air. You can give securely at our website, www.mmisrael.org, or you may call 423-855-4818. That's 423-855-4818. Also, would you let us know that you listen to our program each week? That would be very encouraging to us. Thank you very much for praying for Messianic Ministry to Israel, and thank you for your generous gift of support. Shalom Bayit. Peace to your house.
Thank you for listening to Messianic Ministry to Israel, a mission board since 1944. Learn more about our ministry at mmisrael.org.